Later.
Making their way the only way they know how.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
RGK Custom Flooring in Eaton salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comforts of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into the search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from RGK Custom Flooring in Eaton. Give Kurt a call at 970-539-6113. Reminding everyone that we live in the land of the free, thanks to the brave.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network, and with us this morning is Andrew Skousen. Now, Joel is usually with us this time every week, but he's going to be away until the 24th. So, Andrew, who works with him and certainly is one of the researchers for the information that you read every day at World Affairs Brief, Andrew is with us this morning. And, Andrew, thank you so much for being with us and bringing us up to date on the latest issues in the World Affairs Brief.
No problem, Dr. Stan. It's a pleasure to be with you again.
Well, you go right ahead.
Well, great. The top story this week is about the first couple days of the Republicans in the House of Representatives, and they have an initial show of strength. The question is, will it last? We emphasize the show part. Everything about Representative John Boehner's first moves as Speaker of the House are aimed at giving the appearance that the new Republicans are going to pursue their election mandate with passion. But there is no intention on the part of the leaders to give us real change. There are substantive roadblocks that almost guarantee they'll have an excuse to fail. As Paul Kane, Washington Post staffer, writes, almost as soon as they take control of the House, Republicans will embark on a 20-day plan aimed at undoing major aspects of President Obama's agenda as they seek to take advantage of the weeks before the Senate's return and the President's State of the Union address. First move will come Friday when the House begins the process of repealing the new health care law. House leaders will then quickly begin to identify tens of billions of dollars in proposed spending cuts and to ease regulations that businesses find burdensome. John Boehner and Majority Leader Eric Cantor vow to, quote, cut federal spending, ban earmarks for lawmakers' pet projects, and overhaul the nation's tax code. Republicans are going to shoot for one major bill a week and will start with a token 5% cut in money for lawmakers and committee officers as well as for leadership staff, which is just peanuts. If they're really going to cut down the budget, there needs to be some more significant change made.
Well, they're talking, you know, with a budget of about $3.5 trillion, cutting $25 million cutting the expenditures by congressmen by 5%. And that's all well and good, and I'm all in favor of it. Like, I'd like to cut it about 25%. But be that as may, that is just a drop in the bucket, basically. Of course, the Obama health care bill is going to cost $1 trillion. It ought to be done away with it. But they know that they can't stop the Obama health care bill by the legislative process because it's the law of the land. And even if they could get the vote through the House, which they probably can, but even then if they could get through the Senate, which they probably can't, why, President Obama would simply veto it. The only thing that they can do, of course, is encourage the courts to find it unconstitutional, which it is, and to refuse to fund it, which, of course, won't do much good because it starts into law even without funding. But they could certainly embarrass the president by cutting off any spending and making a provision in every bill that none of this money will be spent for the Obama health care bill, or it'll be a criminal offense and the people will be tried and sent to prison for doing it. So they can do that if they're really serious. Let's wait and see if they are. They're doing a lot of things that sound really good. One of the things they're doing, and I hadn't read about it, but an article recently in the Wall Street Journal, is they're going to actually read the Constitution, open this session by reading the Constitution. And then they're going to require every congressman to explain what the constitutional basis of their legislation is. Of course, the congressman can always quote the General Welfare Clause or the Interstate Commerce Clause to justify this expansion of the Constitution, which is unconstitutional. But the fact that they're doing that and the public is not being told suggests that there is an organized effort on the part of the Brotherhood of Darkness to keep the American people from understanding that the Congress is supposed to obey the law. The law of the land is the Constitution. They haven't been doing it. So from that point of view, and since nobody's mentioning that, that to me is the most important thing, because that's what we've been talking about for the last 15 years we've been on the radio, getting back to the Constitution. So go right ahead, Andrew, but that's something.
That's
did your dad even mention
another
that?
Another excellent point there, Dr. Stan. Well, we point out that we recognize that most of what is going on, although we are hopeful, it still looks like just posturing at the beginning of the session. Obviously, they still don't have a majority in the Senate. There's a 53-47 seat edge there. So Harry Reid still holds the majority leader status, and he can obviously block a lot of the legislation coming from Republicans in the House. So this posturing at the beginning is probably for show, but it is important, if only for its symbolic gesture. Obviously, the real test will come when Republicans try to, like you said, shut down funding, hopefully, of health care during the budget debates. We'll cross our fingers and hope that they'll stand fast there. But you're right, they have an uphill battle, but they've got the key leverage point with the funding aspects that have to come through the House. Coming up on March 4th is the end of the temporary deal struck with Democrats to keep government funded. The debt ceiling will have to be raised at that time above over $14 trillion. And Republicans intend to use another extension as a means of extracting concessions from Obama. In fact, we believe they should be telling the public flat out, we won't vote for any more debt, period. That would, you know, really resound with people, we think, and be the appropriate stance to take. There's plenty of money to fund an appropriate amount of government out there.
And I think people have to understand that today, 40% of everything that the federal government spends is debt. In other words, with a $3.5 trillion deficit budget, why, of course, a couple of $1 trillion of that is debt, or one point. I mean, some people say the deficit last year was $2 trillion. Some people say it was $1.2 trillion. That's probably closer. But 40% of all of the everything that is spent is debt. Now, if you went out and as an average individual, and you spent a lot of money you didn't have, just kept borrowing the money, you could live very well. I mean, you could have all sorts of benefits and cars and extra homes and travel, but the time comes when you have to pay it back. And basically what happens when people won't lend you any more money? If they won't lend you any more money, are you going to simply print the money and destroy the value of the currency and rob from the people that way? Whatever happens, we're in real trouble, ladies.
Shalom. This is Pastor Michael Golden of the Voice of Many Waters Congregation, personally inviting you to join me for a series exploring your God-given spiritual gifts and utilizing them biblically to build Yahweh's kingdom. Starting January the 8th at 1 p.m., we will look through the lens of Torah and address questions like, how do I know what my gifts really are? What's my purpose in using the spiritual gifts? Can my spiritual gifts be blocked for some reason? What does Torah have to do with them? Or how do I know the difference between truth and error, or the office and the gift, and much more? This series includes an extensive personal spiritual gift profile and how to understand who God has called you to be through your gifts in a safe, orderly, and biblically based environment. This exciting series begins January the 8th, 2011. So please join us and call now for details and registration. Contact the Voice of Many Waters Congregation. Call 303-522-3562 or 303-257-7576. A love offering will be collected. Starline Christian School, located at 2418 19th Avenue in Greeley, Colorado, has been in operation since 1980 and is state licensed. There are openings for the following family-centered programs for your children, ages 2.5 to 12 years old. Morning preschool from 8:30 a.m. until 12:30, including lunch, or 8:30 to 11:30 with no lunch. Child care before and after school programs available. Conveniently located at 2418 19th Avenue, Starline School is close to Centennial Park Library, UNC, the hospital, Greeley Mall, and walking distance from Jackson Elementary School. Hours of operation 6:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. For a tour or more information, call 970-353-7541. That's 970-353-7541.
Well, our band back here at the American Freedom Network, our guest this morning is Andrew Skousen. And Andrew, you pick up the story about what the congressmen are doing, what the Republicans are doing, and how your dad feels whether this will be effective. Go right ahead.
You bet, absolutely. Well, we were talking about the upcoming budget and the concessions that are going to have to be made with Obama. It's interesting that military budget cuts are out on the table, too. Newly minted Senator Rand Paul was interviewed along with his father on CNN, and they talked about trimming some of the inefficient Pentagon processes of administration and procurement that are most often discussed. And there's plenty of ways to save money out there, but the biggest savings were pointed out by his father, Congressman Ron Paul, who said that the biggest way to cut spending is simply to get out of Iraq and Afghanistan and save all the dollars that are spent there. Those are where the real big savings are. But they will never come to pass as long as neocon Republican senators like Lindsey Graham have a controlling interest there. In fact, according to RawStory.com, the U.S. military will never leave Afghanistan if Senator Lindsey Graham has his way. The Republican senator from South Carolina expressed his hope on Sunday that the country will invite the U.S. to install permanent military bases there, just like in Iraq. Ron Paul said, "This is why it is key for us to understand that our foreign policy and current economic crisis go hand in hand. Some have promised to lead us back to fiscal responsibility while asserting that any reduction in our foreign and military spending is off the table. They would like us to believe that we should not only continue spending as much on the military as the rest of the world combined, but they actually call for an even more aggressive U.S. policy abroad. They believe we should continue to bomb Pakistan, Yemen, Afghanistan, and elsewhere, that we must impose even more crippling sanctions on countries like Iran while moving steadily to yet another Middle East war that is not in our interest. These represent the failed policies of the past, and they would like to lead us down a dead-end street. We must resist the temptation of their neocon-inspired scaremongering." Ron Paul also commented on his continuing battle against the Fed in this interview. He said, "With the new Republican majority in the House, I will have the opportunity as a subcommittee chairman to take a careful look at our domestic monetary policy." He said, "I'm excited by the prospect of real oversight of the Federal Reserve, but I also hope to focus on the important ways in which our foreign policy and monetary policy are related. Just last week, the Financial Times reported that the limited oversight of the Federal Reserve allowed by the passage of even a watered-down version of my Audit the Fed bill revealed that approximately 55% of the loans made available under the largest Federal Reserve bailout program, the Term Auction Facility, went to foreign banks. This is but one example of the real cost to Americans of maintaining its empire overseas, and it cries out for transparency and oversight." Third point was that congressmen and senators, they'll need to take a stand against TSA fear-mongering, which is used to justify intrusive airline inspections. He said, "We need to look no further than the grossly unconstitutional and immoral policies of the Transportation Security Administration. demanding that we either be irradiated or fondled to travel in our own country. To see that those who would deprive us of our civil liberties on the empty promise of full security will not be giving up easily. We must continue standing up to them, and we must not compromise. In our opinion, these are all excellent points. We would, however, add one more critical item that should be in the Republican sights, and that is that we see a real war coming up against Russia and China, and that we need to stop the Pentagon's suicidal trend of focusing on insurgency warfare and ignoring the larger global conflicts, particularly the cutting of the numbers of F-22 and F-35 fighters we believe is unwise, as is the current nuclear disarmament phrase. These are all strategic and tactic weapons essential to defend against nuclear war, as is, of course, a very effective anti-ballistic missile system with an explosive warhead, which we do not yet have. In highlight of this, there's a report in Kyoto News last week which has proved embarrassing to China as it disclosed leaked documents that China has revised its escalation doctrine to initiate a preemptive nuclear strike in response to a conventional attack on North Korea. This confirms what we have been warning about for years. China is seriously scrambling to refute the reporting of this idea, labeling it as, quote, interpretation. Moreover, there's been a new Chinese stealth fighter that was revealed this week by amateur photographers. China seems to clearly be building for something more than just defense. This new fighter has aspects of the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter. But China's first stealth aircraft, which was caught on digital film by unknown snoopers, who were able to get it on the Internet before China could stop it. Most of these pictures appear to be taken with cell phone cameras from a distance. Chinese Internet censors quickly ordered the photos removed, but it was too late. They had gone viral and were reported all over the place within a day. It was filmed as it emerged from a secret high-speed taxi test in December at Chengdu Aircraft Design Institute's airfield. Its size was a little surprising to U.S. analysts and indicated that it was intended for long-range bombing missions. This is why we do not consider this as just a defensive weapon that China is developing. Bill Sweetman had the following analysis in Aviation Week and Space Technology. He says, its timing, Chengdu's development record, and official statements cast doubt on U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates' 2009 prediction, note in support of his decision to stop production of the Lockheed Martin F-22, that China would not have an operational stealth aircraft before 2020. We comment that Gates, the globalist puppet that he is, has always looked for excuses to shut down weapon systems that confront China and Russia. Continuing, he says, the J-20 is a single-seat, twin-engine aircraft, bigger and heavier than the Sukhoi T-50 and the F-22. Comparison with ground service vehicles points to an overall length of about 75 feet and a wingspan of 45 feet or more, which would suggest a takeoff weight in the 75,000 to 80,000 pound class with no external load. That in turn implies a generous internal fuel capacity, so this probably has a long range. The overall length is close to that of the 1960s General Dynamics F-111, which carries 34,000 pounds of fuel. The cant angles are greater than they are on the Lockheed Martin F-35, and the frameless canopy is very similar to that of the F-22. The engines are most likely members of the Russian Saturn AL-31S family, also used on the J-10. The main landing gears retract into body side bays, indicating the likely presence of F-22-style side weapon bays ahead of them. The ground clearance is higher than on the F-22, which would facilitate loading larger weapons, including possibly surface-to-air munitions. Features at the rear of the aircraft, including underwing actuator fairings, axisymmetrical engine exhausts, and the ventral fins, appear less compatible with stealth, so the J-20 may not match the all-aspect stealth of the F-22. There are two possible explanations for this. Either the aircraft seen here is the first step toward an operational design, or China's requirements do not place as much stress on rear aspect signatures. The major open question at this point is whether the J-20 is a true prototype, like the T-50, or a technology demonstrator. A rapid development program would be a challenge for China's combat aircraft industry, which is currently busy. we note that the following analysis shows how much our government really is watching China, despite assurance to the public that China is no threat. He says it's currently busy manufacturing the J-10B, FC-17, and Shenyang's J-11B, and the carrier-based J-15, which are all under development. However, the progress of China's military aviation technology has been rapid since the first flight of the J-10 in 1996, owing to the nation's growing economy and the push by the People's Liberation Army for a modernized military force in all domains. China, in our opinion, is clearly building for war. One question that has been unanswered for a long time concerns the degree to which cyber espionage has aided the development of the J-20. U.S. defense industry cybersecurity experts have cited 2006, close to the date when the J-20 program would have started, as the point at which they became aware of what was later named the Advanced Persistent Threat, or APT, a campaign of cyber intrusion aimed primarily at military and defense industries and characterized by sophisticated infiltration and exfiltration techniques. The vast majority of APT attacks were believed to come from a single country. The quote stops there, but we comment that notice how no one wanted to say the word China. Between 2009 and early 2010, Lockheed Martin found that 6 to 8 companies among its subcontractors had been totally compromised. Emails, their networks, everything, according to Chief Information Security Officer Ann Mullins. End of quote. There's no mention in the article of another obvious source of leaking technology, and that is simply the Boeing Lockheed entered into an agreement with Zvezda Strela, the Russians' weapons lab, for joint development of the F-35 fighter. This was an obvious and deliberate attempt to allow Russia inside access to almost all U.S. technology. Well, there's a lot of interesting things out there on the Internet that I understand, and a lot of
let me just intercede for a moment. I think this is such an important issue. If you don't understand the past, you can't understand the present. And, of course, we are building up the best enemy money could buy. We're transferring our technology on this agreement to work with the Russians on the development of the F-35, a means that we're giving them the technology to build up their military in preparation for the coming war. And that's exactly what we did with the Second World War. They can't let the American people know that there were 100 American corporations in Germany building the German war machine, both before and during the Second World War. Because Germany, remember, 1933, Hitler comes to power 5 years later, why he's invading Alsace-Lorraine, Austria, and the Sudetenland. How could he do that? He didn't have a military when he came to power. It was very weak. He didn't have, the industrial capacity to build weapons. General Motors was there, Ford, IT&T, IBM, Standard Oil, American banks, 100 American corporations. I have a letter, I'll send it to anybody who gets anything from us, from William Dodd, Ambassador, American Ambassador to Germany, to Colonel House in 1936, saying, why are the 100 American corporations building up the German war machine? We have John Loftus's book, America's Nazi Secret, telling about the 150 Americans who worked in Germany all during the war, building the material, the war materials used to kill the American boys when they invaded in Normandy, and all those 150 American corporate executives from GM and Ford and the others were all got off scot-free, and they've suppressed the information. We have Professor Sutton's book, Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler. We're now carrying Charles Higham. We finally got that book entitled Trading with the Enemy, telling how the Standard Oil tankers, oil tankers, were providing the diesel fuel for the German submarines so they could sink American troop ships, taking American troops to Germany. It was all a fraud, ladies and gentlemen. All those boys, those brave boys, were killed because we wanted a war to transform the world. We wanted to bring in the world government. That was to be the United Nations. It didn't work, and that's why they need another war. And we're once again building the best enemies in both Russia and China, the best enemies that your tax dollars and your wealth can buy. And we are intentionally transferring our manufacturing over there so they could build the war weapons to kill us with. Go right ahead, Andrew.
No, I think those are very good points, Dr. Stan. It seems like the Chinese are leveraging off of the significant amounts of economic boom that they are having there and focusing all of their money that the U.S. is sending with the goods that we purchase toward expanding their war machine. And it's basically us paying them to build their own weapons that will be used against us someday. So it's pretty scary. You know, there was about a month back when it seemed like there was a missile test off of the waters in Los Angeles. And in our analysis, it appeared that some country, probably China, was using this
opportunity. Hold that thought, Andrew. We'll be back in a moment with Andrew Skousen right here at the American Freedom Network.
Bill of Rights, Article 1. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of a religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed.
Worship and Warfare, Holy Places and In His Hands. Three praise and worship CDs now available through Voice of Many Waters Ministry. Call 1-800-205-6245 or check it out on the web, www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Each CD is $15 plus $3.50 shipping and handling. Call 1-800-205-6245 or www.voiceofmanywaters.org. Starline Christian School, in operation since 1980 and state-licensed, is a well-rounded educational opportunity for your children. Family-centered with Bible time, structured, and social academic programs. Starline is located at 2418 19th Avenue in Greeley, Colorado. Close to Centennial Park, UNC, the hospital, Greeley Mall, and two blocks from Jackson Elementary. Transportation is also available to the following schools: University, Montfort, Meeker, Krista McCullough, AM Kindergarten, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursdays, and Frontier and Chapel Hill. Hours of operation are Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. for children 2.5 to 12 years old. Morning preschool, 8:30 to 12:30, including lunch, or 8:30 to 11:30 with no lunch. Full care child care before and after school programs. Call for more information, 970-353-7541. That's 970-353-7541. Basic Energy Services in Greeley reminds us no one anywhere is more noble, righteous, selfless, or courageous than our United States Armed Forces. These brave men and women and their families foot the bill for our freedom every day. Send a military care package today to let them know that they are now and always in our thoughts and prayers. This message from Basic Energy Services in Greeley, proud to salute all the past and present members of our military services.
If cholesterol, high blood pressure, angina, atherosclerotic plaque, or stroke are a concern for you or your loved one, or you want to strengthen your heart, increase stamina, and promote overall cardiovascular health, then join the Heart Technology team. Heart Technology, Linus Pauling's recommended vitamin C therapies, is the answer to your concern. Don't wait until it's too late. For more information and to order, call Dennett Daniels at 1-800-205-6245. Heart Technology, it's natural, it's effective, it's inexpensive, and it's guaranteed. 1-800-205-6245.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen. Andrew, before we go on, would you like to tell our listeners how they could subscribe to the World Affairs Brief? Certainly, it's a wonderful source of information. Joel does a great job. Your dad does a great job of compiling information and analyzing it as far as what's going on. How could people subscribe to your publication?
Well, it's very simple. There's a couple of links available on worldaffairsbrief.com. That's one word, worldaffairsbrief.com. foreignaffairsbrief.com. That's a website that's also useful if people want to see some of the news stories. We post links up there continually about what we see as good sources of news that have come forth that sort of tell some of the story behind the story, as you say, Dr. Stan. And all of that can be read each morning on worldaffairsbrief.com. And people who are interested in getting the weekly email edition of the World Affairs Brief, the analysis of my dad that we're talking about here and other stories, comes to their email box each week, and it's for a pretty reasonable cost for a yearly membership there. So great, that sounds good. All right, well,
okay, go right
ahead. We were talking about before the break, there was a few months back a missile launch off the coast of Los Angeles that was batted about in the news for quite a bit. They finally sort of let the story die and tried to embarrass the news sources that had covered the story as it just being the standard contrails off of a jet. Well, there are continuing signs that other powers are probing the U.S. military's reconnaissance abilities and watching our response this week. There was another mysterious missile launch off of San Padre Island in southern Texas. Now, this wasn't as big of a missile as the submarine-launched ballistic missile that was seen off of the coast of California. But this was a military missile, and it was launched very near the coast. There's a news report that we point out inside of the World Affairs Brief this week for a YouTube link, but most importantly, naval facilities in the area said that it wasn't one of theirs, and the federal government is being mum on this one, too. The vertical speed of the missile and the closeness to the photographer in this case make this one impossible to mislabel as an aircraft contrail. In our analysis, this is still not some imminent sign of war, but we do think that it indicates that other foreign powers, probably China, are making ways into the U.S. waters and setting off these test missiles just to see how the U.S. responds, you know, whether or not we are, in fact, somehow keeping a better track of our own coastal protection. And I'm pretty certain that they see that we've got most of our military spread out abroad around the world and are not protecting our home country as we think we ought.
Well, of course, why do we have 130 troops stationed in 130 nations? They're there to occupy those nations to maintain the empire. This is what ancient Rome did. All of their troops were overseas, protecting the empire when the Huns attacked Rome and sacked it and raped the women. Because their troops weren't there, and that's exactly what we're doing, 720 foreign military bases. America has an empire. It's all about bringing about a world government. That is the basis of American foreign policy. That is why we are transferring our manufacturing base to China and to Russia and to Brazil and to India, the so-called BRIC nations. That is the plan, to build up those nations and destroy the industrial base of this country. Why can't people see this? Don't they understand we are intentionally offshoring our jobs and sending them to India? That's why when you put a call in for tech support on some of your products, why, there's a fellow who sounds like his name was Raj in Calcutta, because he is Raj in Calcutta. And we're sending our jobs overseas on our architecture, on our engineering design, even reading many of our CAT scans and MRIs. They're emailed over to the other countries. They intend to send our jobs overseas. Everybody says, oh, when the jobs come back, and they're not coming back, ladies and gentlemen. They have no intention of that. They intend to lower our living standards and first to take us into an austere condition as we lower the living standards here and impoverish the American people and steal their pensions. They know what they're doing. They just don't want the public to know. We go right ahead, though, Andrew.
Thanks, Dr. Stan. Yes, we feel that there are a lot of threats that are facing the U.S. population, some of which are not very clear. There's a story recently about some mysterious bird and fish die-off. We think that anything that's killing this large amount of wildlife is probably going to affect the U.S. population in some way as well, or I'm sorry, the people themselves. The mainstream press has been all too eager to point out that the significant numbers of birds and fish have died before. The quantity involved with this incident, however, is disturbing. These are not normal levels of die-off. While initially reported in Arkansas, there were mass die-offs of both fish and birds in Arkansas and Louisiana, and more birds in Texas. The Louisiana incident was 300 miles from the Arkansas incident just days earlier. According to CBS News, around 500 dead birds have fallen from the sky in Louisiana, found scattered along a quarter-mile portion of highway in Pointe Coupee Parish, the Associated Press reports. The discovery is approximately 300 miles south of Beebe, Arkansas, where just days earlier, thousands of the same species of birds also fell from the sky. Initial tests conducted by biologists on the red-winged blackbirds and starlings found in Arkansas revealed that the birds suffered internal injuries that formed deadly blood clots. Countless explanations have been speculated. The ones reported were intense high-altitude weather like lightning or hail to disturbance from fireworks. We comment that of all the possible causes, they name the two most improbable. Toxic poison would be a much more likely idea.
Why
they say
would
disease
we
and poison were determined to be far less likely causes. Though full test results won't rule them out until next week. There's probably some physical reason, but I doubt anyone will ever know what it was, Thurman Booth, Arkansas Wildlife Services director, told CBS. We comment that there's probably a cover-up here in the making. Continuous CBS, the latest occurrence of more dead birds turning up in Louisiana only compounds local residents' worries, as in the week prior to the Arkansas blackbird mystery, 83,000 dead drumfish washed up along a river about 100 miles west of Beebe. Wildlife officials claim the incidents are not related. That was an easy decision. Here's an example of how they explain it away superficially. Keith Stevens of the Arkansas Game and Fish Commission said, fish kills occur every year, but the size of the latest one is unusual and suggested some sort of disease was to blame. He says, the fish only affected one species, or the fish kill only affected one species of fish, he said. If it was from a pollutant, it would have affected all the fish, not just...
Hang on there. We'll be back in just a moment with Andrew Skousen right here at the American Freedom Network.
Sick of playing the guessing game with your vitamins? Tired of paying hundreds or even thousands of dollars for supplements that may or may not work? If you're a professional athlete or just looking for nutritional peace of mind, look no more because you've found Bio Superfood, the next generation in supplementation. 100% natural Bio Superfood packs all your essential proteins, vitamins, minerals, antioxidants, enzymes, and many of nature's special forces you need for optimum health. Call BioAge at 877-288-9116, 877-288-9116.
If catastrophe struck, would your family be prepared? Are you confident you wouldn't react in a panic? Is there one place to get all of your emergency supplies? Ferris Survival encourages you to have confidence through preparation, not panic through crisis. Ferris Survival, located at 3366 South Broadway, is a professional, reputable, full-service business providing quality, realistic preparedness supplies at an affordable price. Go online, stop by, or call 303-781-0343. Ferris Survival. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath.
RGK Custom Flooring in Eaton salutes our troops. Whether you're for the war or against, they're still there. These men and women deserve more than our support. They deserve the comforts of home. Send a military care package today. Just type military care package into the search engine, point and click. Let's show our troops we care. This message from RGK Custom Flooring in Eaton. Give Kurt a call at 970-539-6113, reminding everyone that we live in the land of the free, thanks to the brave.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Theater Network. Our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen. And Andrew, you go right ahead for the last segment.
Great. Well, so we just commented that someone said the fish kill would only affect one species of fish. If it was from a pollutant, it would have affected all the fish, so we should have seen a mass die-off, he was saying. But we don't think this is true. First, he's ruling out specific poison chemicals and only considering common pollutants. A disease can be triggered by a chemical that weakens certain fish in a specific way. But this most likely isn't disease, because disease kills one bird or one fish at a time, not whole flocks or schools within a matter of minutes. So it's probably more likely a poison. Interestingly enough, it's not just the American South where this is occurring. According to the UK Daily Mail, dead birds rain down on towns half a world apart. Several streets were closed in Austin, Texas, while police investigated. It could be the plot of a horror film, but in two towns on opposite sides of the world, the mysterious phenomenon of thousands of dead birds dropping out of the sky is all too real. Officials are baffled by the unexplained deaths, which have affected Australia and the U.S. 3 weeks ago, thousands of crows, pigeons, wattles, and honeyeaters fell out of the sky in Esperance, Western Australia. Then last week, dozens of grackles, sparrows, and pigeons dropped dead on two streets in Austin, Texas. As birds continue to die in Esperance and the town's dawn chorus remains eerily silent, vets in both countries have been unable to establish a cause of death, despite carrying out a large number of autopsies on the birds. Wildlife officials from Western Australia's Department of Environment and Conservation said they were baffled by the catastrophic event, but emphasized the deaths had nothing to do with the severe storm which recently struck the area, as the birds had started dying before them. We comment that we're glad to see someone takes a closer look at superficial claims of cause. District Nature Conservation Coordinator Mike Fitzgerald said, "We estimate several thousand birds are dead, although we don't have a clear number because of the large number of the large area of bushland." Dr. Fiona Sunderman, Chief Veterinary Officer at the Department of Agriculture and Food, suspects the cause of death is some form of toxic poisoning. In Texas, officials are also working on the toxic poisoning theory. Austin had a large die-off of similar birds in 2007. Quoting, "More than 10 blocks in downtown Austin leading up to the Capitol were shut down early today after officials found up to 60 dead grackles, sparrows, and pigeons in the same area, although the stretch was expected to reopen soon after no dangerous chemicals were detected. Grackles are common in Austin and considered a loud, messy nuisance. Like pigeons, they loiter in trees and structures, indiscriminately soiling anything or anyone unlucky enough to blow. Tests will be looking for signs of poisoning or viral infections, although he said officials do not think bird flu is involved. We comment that this is correct. The bird flu would not produce a die-off so quickly and uniformly, but bird poison might. One person familiar with pest control methods said, I am a permitted wild bird rehabilitator in Southern California. A large bird die-off in a big city could be due from a hired pest control company putting out avitrol, which is a highly toxic nerve poison to control pest birds. We think this might be a reasonable source for the die-off in a city like Austin, but it doesn't explain the larger die-off clear out in the countryside. We think it's possible it could be related to the fallout pattern created by a government aerosol spraying, such as by chemtrailing aircraft, which have plagued the nation for years. While the government denies that they ever used high-altitude spraying of chemicals from aircraft, the facts clearly contradict government claims. Contrails come from water condensation. Fuel combustion leaves the water residue in the exhaust of jet engines, which freezes several meters behind the engines, but only at altitudes where temperatures are below freezing. Chemtrails come from deliberate spraying at altitude. While many people mistake contrails for chemtrails, the only definitive proof is where multiple spray patterns are coming off an aircraft which doesn't correspond to the number of engines. In the brief this week, there's a link toward an image of this. This is not dumping of excess fuel either, which occurs at only one nozzle on each wing. What you see is more than contrails, which should be in two distinct trails behind the two engines. Now, if this case is chemtrailing, why does it not kill all bird and fish in an even broader areas? Spraying by air at high altitude is notorious for uneven disbursement. This is one of the reasons why it is so difficult for the military to use chemical and biological weapons over broad areas and keep them in the required concentrations. There is evidence from the chemical residues collected and analyzed after chemtrailing that government continues to experiment with different chemicals. For what specific purpose, we don't know. There are lots of theories out there, including possibly weather modification. This one appears to have been too toxic or stayed at too high a concentration in one area, whatever it was. It will be interesting to see what kind of pressure is brought to bear on the forensic investigation to divert blame to something natural. We never are privy to the call of the night that can often tell when some official is being pressured to promulgate superficial and implausible explanations. Paul Joseph Watson of Infowars.com takes a sober look at the documented and dark history of government chemical and drug experiments on the unsuspecting public. He says this: the history of U.S. government biological testing includes deliberately infecting Americans with syphilis, malaria, and other bacteriological agents. From the 1950s onward, the U.S. government deliberately engaged in open-air tests, spraying major cities like San Francisco and New York with Serratia marcensis and Bacillus guajigae. In 1955, the CIA also released a bacteria withdrawn from the Army's biological warfare arsenal over Tampa Bay, Florida, in order to test its ability to infect human populations with biological agents. In 1966, the U.S. Army dispensed Bacillus subtilis variant Niger throughout the New York City subway system. 1977 Senate hearings on health and scientific research confirmed that 239 populated areas had been contaminated with biological agents between 1949 and 1969, including San Francisco, Washington, D.C., Key West, Panama City, Minneapolis, and St. Louis. In August of 1994, residents in the Oakville, Washington area reported tiny blobs of gelatinous goo raining from the sky, and in 1997, residents in the Everett area of Washington State reported a similar phenomenon. We comment that these incidents were linked to chemical spray planes seen overhead. Given the history of governments across the world performing unwitting experiments on their populations, the number one suspect in such cases should be government. Just a few months ago, it came to light that in the late 1940s, American public
Andrew,
health...
Andrew, we're out of time. God bless. We'll talk to you next week. Thanks so very much for being with us today. Bye-bye.
Shalom. This is Pastor Michael Golden of the Voice of Many Waters Congregation, personally inviting you to join me for a series exploring your God-given spiritual gifts and utilizing them biblically to build Yahweh's kingdom. Starting January the 8th at 1 p.m., we will look through the lens of Torah and address questions like, how do I know what my gifts really are? What's my purpose in using the spiritual gifts? Can my spiritual gifts be blocked for some reason? What does Torah have to do with them? Or how do I know the difference between truth and error, or the office and the gift, and much more? This series includes an extensive personal spiritual gift profile and how to understand who God has called you to be through your gifts in a safe, orderly, and biblically based environment. This exciting series begins January the 8th, 2011. So please join us and call now for details and registration. Contact the Voice of Many Waters congregation. Call 303-522-3562 or 303-257-7576. A love offering will be collected.
11 years ago, when my uncle started the Patriot Trading Group, gas was 75 cents a gallon, we were running an alleged budget surplus, and the total national debt was $5 trillion, and the government was forecasting the debt would be eliminated by 2010. And I thought my uncle was a wacko with tinfoil on his head. Well, I owned tech stocks certain to become a millionaire before the millennium rolled over. Since then, the debt has doubled, jobs are heading overseas, and 100,000 people have joined Eric with tinfoil on their heads. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice vice president for the Patriot Trading Group, and as gold and silver have doubled and even tripled during the first 11 years, the issues facing this country over the next 11 years look far worse. Call the Patriot Trading Group at 800-951-0592. We offer all forms of gold, silver, platinum, and palladium shipped and delivered at the most competitive prices in the country. Call us, 800-951-0592, or check out our website at allamericangold.com. And remember, you don't need to have tinfoil to own gold and silver.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at American Freedom Network, our guest this morning, Andrew Skousen. I hope you enjoyed his presentation. Does the government experiment on our people? Does it kill our people? Yes, it does, ladies and gentlemen. There is an element, an evil element in government. It has nothing to do with the government, our government, but it is their government. I call it the Brotherhood of Darkness. Anyway, we have a government report going into the background of all the horrible things and the experiments they've done on the general population and specifically on the military. This report came out of the Veterans Administration in 1994. I contacted the woman who put it together, asked her to come on my radio program, and she was afraid to. She was afraid after compiling this excellent report. We have it. They only printed 35 copies for the entire nation of 300 million people. It was distributed to the members of the committee, but not to the general population. We bought 24 of the original 35 copies. Now we print them up ourselves. We call it the Rockefeller Committee Report. It's well worthwhile getting. It's inexpensive, and it will change the way you look at the world. The Rockefeller Report, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. And the way they use our military for all sorts of horrible experiments that destroy the health of our young men or even kill them, and the general population as well. The Rockefeller Report, available from 1-800-544-8927. And then, of course, the story of what they've done in the prison, specifically Huntsville in Texas, where they infected the prisoners there without their knowledge or consent with a mycoplasm infection, and then it spread into the general community. The guards got it, their wives and children got it, and suddenly they have an epidemic of multiple sclerosis and anterior lateral sclerosis. And of course, the story is told by Dr. Garth Nicholson in his book, The Project Daylily. Project Daylily. We carry the book. And what's really so interesting, of course, Garth Nicholson came to be a friend of ours. His chief there at MD Anderson Cancer Clinic, of course, was a retired Air Force colonel who knew what was going on, and he told Garth, I'm going to tell what's going on. I'm not going to put up with this. And 3 hours later, that man was killed with several bullets in the back of his head. And Garth tells the whole story. That's why he had to leave there as a tenured professor and come to America, because they were going to kill him and his wife. Our telephone number for Project Daylily or the Rockefeller Committee Report, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Of course, if you want to know how we build up Adolf Hitler's Germany, we have that letter, which I found in Colonel House's papers. You can get a copy of that, or what we hope, of course, is that you'll want to get the books by John Loftus, America's Nazi Secret, Professor Sutton's Wall Street and the Rise of Hitler, and Charles Higham's Trading with the Enemy. You need to get the information. You need to understand the past, how we intentionally built up Adolf Hitler and provided the weapons so we could have a wonderful little war and kill 125,000 American soldiers. And they knew what they were doing, ladies and gentlemen. The Brotherhood of Darkness is evil. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You say, it couldn't be true. No, Rush Limbaugh would tell me. Would he really? Or does he make a great deal of money, not by revealing the truth, but by concealing the truth? Go to our webpage, radioliberty.com. Radioliberty.com. You can listen to our programs there 9 hours a day. You can hear them on if you have unlimited telephone minutes, you can hear them 24 hours a day. Pray for America. Until Monday, May the Lord. May the Lord be with you.
Now you can reach the American Freedom Network at our new P.O. Box, 1750 Johnstown, Colorado, 80534, or online at Amerifree.com. Article 4. The right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrant shall be issued but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the places to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. U.S. Cash Flows reminds listeners, the results of child abuse are devastating. Each year, millions of children are subject to it. Many die. For the survivors, the pain inflicted on them influences their lives. If you or anyone you know needs help, call your local child abuse hotline. This message is from U.S. Cash Flows. For more information, call 484-6523. That's